It's Free Talk Live. You may join us. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. We've got all kinds of interesting things to talk about tonight. On the way, the orangutan with human rights, at least according to a court in Argentina, is apparently making the move to Florida. We can talk about what that means. Plus, apparently, the very first ever legal, at least in our lifetimes, cannabis consumption establishment since Prohibition is about to open up in Hollywood. And we'll tell you about that. And with you tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
But Mark, you are very concerned. You're very concerned tonight about the status of Americans and their preparedness, or maybe people worldwide, and their preparedness for the recession. Whatever recession might be coming, you believe that one is relatively imminent?
Well, I don't know if you can use the term recession, because at this point...
That's what you used off the air.
Though. I did use it off the air because okay. I'm using it as a catch-all. And the reason is the recession's defined as, and I don't have it sitting here right in front of me, but basically 2 quarters of negative growth or something to that effect. Hmm. Well, do you write the numbers, Ian?
No.
I don't write the numbers. Nobody listening to me writes the numbers. The government writes the numbers. And the government does not benefit by a recession. At least, you know, a lot of people in the government don't, right? The government doesn't exist. There are different factions in there and that kind of thing. And hopefully the factions keep each other honest. But the government doesn't benefit if we're in what we call a recession.
Now, when you say the government doesn't benefit,
yep,
you mean because tax revenues would go down in theory because of a recession?
No, they want the consumers consuming. They want everybody to...
Well, people are still going to consume.
They want them happy. Well, yeah, they're going to consume, but are they going to consume
as much? Are people
happy
now?
I don't know. Some people are happy, some aren't. There's the Consumer Confidence Index. It's not doing as well as it has been, but, you know, it's doing okay.
March 21st, according to Vox.com, new survey shows Americans are unhappier than they've been in years.
I'm not talking about happiness. I'm talking about the consumer confidence, you know, the way they feel about the marketplace and that
sort of thing. Okay, so it doesn't matter whether to the government gang whether you're happy or not. As long as you're consuming.
You're confident in the market. That's what makes them the comfortable. So if the recession, if the recession is no longer called a recession, I don't know what it's going to be called, and I don't even know how we rate it. Right? So we don't get the numbers. The numbers have been pencil whipped for as long as we've been alive, and it's getting worse. I mean, we don't even find out. You hear that it's the lowest employment numbers in years, but there's more people who are choosing not to work than in many years, too. So you have this weird situation going on where we don't know what the numbers are exactly, and they make it more and more difficult to find out what the numbers are. Do I think that a financial crisis is coming? And I did use that term off the air, too. And I think that a lot of people are already living with a financial crisis.
Well, I mean, the standard of living is down. It's harder to, you know, make ends meet these days because the government has continually inflated the money supply. Wages have not kept up with inflation.
I'm not sure standard of living is down. I don't know what that is.
Well, I don't know what it is either, but to me, it sounds to me like, you know, what's my standard that I'm living by? Is it going up or down? Am I having a nicer life or am I having a crappier life?
My life's a lot better than it was when I was working.
You have Bitcoin, though.
When I was working at 15 years old at Burger King, life was pretty crappy.
Yeah, no doubt. But there are people your age who have a crappy life, too, right? So it just depends on choices in a lot of cases that people make. But given, you know, and you're also not working at a job, you kind of do your own thing. And that's also an unusual circumstance, probably for most people out there in America. A lot of people have jobs. So if you have a job, it's probably true that your job has not kept up, whatever raises you've gotten over time has not kept up with inflation. Of course, there's the government's inflation rate, and then there's the real inflation rate. There's the one they talk about, which excludes certain categories that happen to show that, you know, prices are going up over time.
Right. Inflation doesn't include housing, fuel, and a whole variety of things. Food.
Stuff that everybody needs.
Right.
Everybody buys.
I mean, I don't know. When you're talking about food, fuel, and housing, you're pretty much talking about my paycheck.
Yeah. You know. So, you know, those prices have been going up, so we don't know what the actual inflation rate is. That's up to speculation, but some have said it's in the double digits on a yearly basis, I think, here in the United States. I think the official government gang rate is like, what, 2 or 3% or something like
that? It always
is,
right? And that's part of, you go to, you know, go to shadowstats.com and look up what they're not showing. But that's not what I'm...
Well, if you haven't gotten a 10% raise every year, then you're probably behind the ball as far as... You know, keeping up with inflation, which means that the money you're earning isn't going as far as it once was. Therefore, in my opinion, your standard of living is lower. Even if, on the other hand, you do see advancements in technology, obviously. Some things do get cheaper, so there are certain things you can look at and say, well, we have these things now, we didn't have them before. You have a PlayStation game console now and flat-screen televisions, and you didn't have those in 1970. You know, there was an Atari back then, but it was very, very expensive, or Pong, or whatever it was. I don't even know if Atari existed in 1970. It was,
not in 1970, yeah. But by the maybe in the 70s.
Later, 77, 78, something like that. So, you know, what I'm saying is odds are your standard of living or the your ability to make ends meet has been getting tighter over time. And that's because of what the government has been doing to the money supply and their various manipulations.
And, like, you know, there's the statistics that say 40% of Americans can't put their hands on $400.
They don't have that much in savings is what you're saying.
Yeah. Right. There's...
they might have a car sitting in the yard, but... That's not $400.
60% of Americans can't put their hands on $1,000. Mm-hmm. One-third of baby boomers, 33%, can't put their hands on $1,000.
That's sad. If you're a baby boomer and you can't put your hands on $1,000, I mean, you've been around for what, 60 years, 70 years?
I'm 48, and I'm Gen X, in the middle of Gen X. So they're, I think the youngest baby boomer is probably got to
like
be 60.
Something. 60.
And... you know, there's another staggering statistics I've got here. 38% of Americans say that their highest financial priority is just trying to pay the bills. 19% of Americans say it's dealing with credit card debt. So now you have basically 40 and 20%, almost 60% of Americans aren't basically doing anything for retirement. That's what I'm trying to say is that they're saying that the numbers, the way they are now, that this is the best it's been in a long time. In more than a decade, this is the best it's been.
Wait, what's the best it's been?
The economy.
Really?
The economy right now is the best it's been in a
In a decade. I'm sorry. I said all time.
No.
I'm sorry. The last decade ago was the recession where they gave a bunch of money to GM and – the banks.
Right. They, you know, when everything went bad, they gave money to rich people, you know, and the government, who they tell us is us, we gave money to rich people because we had to. I don't really know how all this works. It sounds to me like a bunch of people made a decision to steal my money and give it to rich people, I think is what.
Yeah, except it wasn't your money. You're using their money.
Whatever. I don't even know how to, like, this is how.
They just inflated their money supply. It's not yours.
Well,
you happen to hold some U.S. dollars, but you're at their mercy, and they are not going to show it to you.
Indeed. And so what I'm trying to say is that if you're not doing well right now, and it's probably not what you're earning, it's what you're spending, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, you need to cut costs. You need to get out of debt. And once you're out of debt, you just got to the starting line.
Yeah, sure.
Right, that's not the finish line, getting out of debt.
Step one.
Getting out of debt is the starting line, and then you've got to figure out ways to you know, preserve wealth and that kind of thing. But if you're in that position right now, I don't think things are going to get much better for much longer. I think they're going to get worse.
Now, is this your prediction based on, for instance, the government gang and their unfunded liabilities? Is that one factor? Like, what is it? Are the factors in why you think things are going to get so much worse?
Yeah, I mean, I can rattle off a few things. The Fed's overnight repo rate has gone to, I think, $100 billion.
What's that mean?
Banks. There's been runs on banks, and nobody's talking about it. Banks
really
don't have money to lend, and
what?
They have to. Okay, so they have to have a certain amount in reserves.
Hold on, I'm making notes here. Runs on banks. This is news to me.
Repo rate. That's what somebody needs to be able to Google to, you know, investigate what I'm talking about.
Not to be confused with Repo Man, which was a great movie in the 1980s.
Yeah, Iggy Pop, baby.
The toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. It's a cult classic if you haven't seen it, kids. Repo Man. All right, more coming up. You can share your thoughts with us. Is the country heading for some pretty tough financial times? It's Free Talk Live. You're invited if you want to join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms. They are over at discord.lrn.fm. You want to weigh in on this conversation, you are welcome to do that. In fact, I just noticed somebody is in there right now. And you can also bring up anything that you want. You don't have to talk about the so-called financial crisis. Is it going to be as bad as Mark is believing that it is going to be? And now we're not even sure how bad you think it's going to be yet.
Oh, I don't even know.
Or why it's going to be that way. And if you want to weigh in, you can. The toll-free number again, 855-450-FREE. Now, I know that one thing that we like to talk about is what can you do about it? Now, obviously, you talked about controlling your spending. That's an obvious thing, or at least to some people, it may be obvious that if you are spending more than you earn, that's not a formula for success. And unfortunately, the government, when they teach these things in school, they don't really teach people savings or good financial habits.
No, they don't. They don't want to do that, and there's no particular benefit.
They want you to be dependent on them.
Well, I don't even know that it's that. So let me explain the difference. There was a time in World War II when they sold war bonds. Remember, the thing to do that was patriotic
was to buy war bonds.
You want to beat the Hun, you want to put Kojo back in his hole, buy war bonds. All right, fast forward about 60 years, George Bush at a press conference, when asked by reporters, what can we do to support this Iraq war? Remember when everybody was, we're going to get those terrorists by going in and getting Saddam, right? I don't know how that didn't work out particularly well, but nonetheless, when asked, he said, well, go shopping.
Mm-hmm.
The advice changed. How can we support war in, 1940? Buy war bonds. How can we support it in 2003, go shopping. That's a big difference. Mm-hmm. And that's because the economy is designed differently now. You are supposed to be a consumer. Things were going real well in 2005 before the boom, when Americans, consumer debt was higher than consumer earning. Wow. It was higher than GDP. And it's not doing that right now. Americans seem to have learned that lesson, mm-hmm. and our debt to income ratios getting better, going down on the chart because it was going up. Up is bad, down is good, and so that's a good thing. And people are paying off debt. I think they've learned something, but I just feel like there's a lot of people out there that aren't ready for the next recession. And there's going to be one, right? Like, what fool among us believes that there isn't going to be some kind of, let's call it an economic downturn, because I don't mm-hmm. know whether we'll ever see a recession again, because we don't make the numbers. They make the numbers. Anyway, that economic downturn, if we're going to be ready for it, because right now Americans are still living paycheck to paycheck. A lot of them are.
Yeah, sure.
And,
well, they got a bunch of debt in a lot of cases already, not just the credit card debt, but student loan debt and other things. Of course, it's a debt-based money system as well. This whole system, this financial system is built on debt, and it's kind of sick.
It's also worth pointing out, because of that if you've got a fixed-rate loan that you've got to pay, and we go into hyperinflation, if that's what the economic downturn looks like, if we go into hyperinflation, then it was better off for you to wait to pay.
Yeah.
So, if you're going to a Weimar Germany situation where money, you got to get your paycheck daily. Otherwise, if you wait till the end of the week, the money from Monday is basically worthless.
Like they have in Venezuela.
Right. Basically, Venezuela, Zimbabwe, there's all kinds of modern examples. If for whatever reason it spirals into that, then, you pay off your student loan with a one wheelbarrow full of worthless dollars.
Let's go to your calls and thoughts here. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Our Discord on-air call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. We have Michael. He's in Nashville. Michael, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, real quick, something you can discuss. The Dave Ramsey way of, get out of debt, save till you're 62. Can work, but these people that are making $15 an hour, once you're out of debt, you're still barely going to scrape by. People have got to increase their skills and increase their income. The getting out of debt is one thing, but until they increase their income, it's still just a you know, chasing your tail game. You know, you're going to paycheck to paycheck till you're 62 and die. But the kids going to college are being taught wrong. Oh, get your 4-year degree. You know, it's the pathway to heaven. It's not. You know,
yeah.
They've got to learn. They've got to learn some skills. Anyway, that's it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that whole thing's a scam, college, for most people. Thank you, Michael, for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Said he was listening on it looks like an LPFM, low-power FM in Nashville, which would be pretty cool. I did not know that we were on that station, it's true.
There's certainly nothing wrong with getting some skills and that sort of thing, so I don't disagree with him. But if you're, you know, my age, 48 years old, and you've been working for $15, $20 an hour this long, you're used to those things, mm-hmm. right? Like you've got, you know, either rent a house or you got a little house or whatever it is. And so I would say, in fact, it's not what you make, it's what you spend.
Well, right. That's how you would get out of debt in the first place. So,
no,
I mean, if you
not
can
just getting out of debt, though. I mean going beyond that.
I understand that. But
the
if you can pay off your debt, that suggests that you can then save. You just keep doing the same thing you were doing to pay off the debt, and then you just put that money into savings. That's all you'd have to do there.
Agreed. Right. It's just that, like, your lifestyle isn't going to be fantastic, but, you know, it's okay.
That's what you're used to.
I lived in an 800 square foot house until very recently, and mm-hmm. you know, life was pretty good. I was happy. I had all the room I needed.
You keep your costs down.
You're wealthy in the love that you get from your family and your friends.
You're also wealthy in that you're not, you know, eking out an existence on some African desert somewhere, right? Like, there's a lot of very unpleasant places that you could be instead of in a nice, warm or air conditioned home.
I'd rather have an 800 square foot cabin paid off
mm-hmm.
than to have some 3,000 square foot house that I'm making a $2,500 a month mortgage payment on.
Absolutely.
And you know, I'd rather have what's mine and, you know, not have to be worried about what's coming next. You know, when you sign up for all that debt for that new car and you're paying $400 a month for that new car, you're, you know, prepared, you're signing on the dotted line that you can pay that, and you don't really know. You presume you can, maybe, probably you can, but you don't want to eat up all your paycheck before it's even, you know, earned, and that's what's going on with debt. So I'm just warning people. I think that there's an economic crisis coming. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know how terrible it is. I mean, I don't want to use the term crisis. Some people are living in a crisis right now.
Sure.
And the best
if you're not
thing,
making ends meet, that's a crisis, right? Feels like it.
Best thing you can do, pay down debt, get in control of your finances, and start a budget, do the things that mm-hmm. you know work as far as money goes. And if you don't, there's plenty of advice, podcasts, books, everything out there that will help you in this particular arena. Don't say Free Talk Live didn't warn you.
The toll-free number tonight is 855-450-FREE. Mark, you were talking about some of the reasons why you think things are going to get worse. You mentioned a repo rate at the bank, and we didn't really get into that. Maybe we can talk
about that. Sure, let's talk about repo rate.
What that means, 855-450-FREE. What can you really do about this? I mean, beyond cutting back on your costs of living and, you know, saving, what are some other ideas? 855-450-FREE. You're welcome to share your thoughts with us here. This is the live Saturday edition of Free Talk Live.
Divvy is crypto made easy. Anyone can use Divvy to securely and seamlessly spend, earn, store, or exchange digital money, the US dollar, and euros. Divvy is fast. Transactions happen in seconds with fewer fees. While other altcoins are languishing, the Divvy price has risen substantially against BTC. Now's the time to make a switch to Divvy or make your start with cryptocurrency with Divvy. Visit DivvyProject.org. Divvy is crypto made easy. Plus one-click master notes. DivvyProject.org. Again, DivvyProject.org.
It's Free Talk Live. You may bring up what you want. We're talking about finances. And, you know, this is something that everybody has in common. A lot of times on talk radio, they're talking about some politician or whatever. And we don't tend to do that here on Free Talk Live. During a presidential election, it's inevitable that we'll have to cover some of what these scum are up to. But for the most part, we talk about issues here on Free Talk Live. But, you know, not everybody is into vaping. Not everybody is into, you know, cannabis or whatever it is that's the issue of the moment. But everybody's got to deal with money at some point in their lives. And so I hope that this is a useful conversation and it may be an eye-opening conversation about exactly what's wrong with people in the United States. And again, this may apply in a lot of the rest of the Western world. I don't know. I don't live there. But we'll continue with that discussion here. We also will hopefully get into some ideas as to, you know, what you can do to protect yourself from a financial crisis or a recession or whatever you want to call it that could be in the future. Mark, you seem pretty certain that it's coming, and I think Ron Paul would probably agree with you
I would think Ron Paul would, but you know, the thing is that it's difficult when you deal with the perma bears out there. And I don't know whether Ron Paul is a perma bear, but it seems like he's always looking for
somebody who's negative about the economy.
A perma bear is a person who believes that the next economic crisis is always a month away.
Mm-hmm, right.
And it's not. Right. The people, the liars and thieves, the financial jugglers and the circus that we call global finance, they're good at juggling.
They
juggled for a long time. They can keep those balls in the air when you would think they can't. But how many financial crises have you lived through in your life? You know, there's Black Tuesday and maybe it was Black Monday. I don't know. There was the one in the, you know, the SNL debacle. There's the dot-com boom and bust. Mm-hmm. There's the Great Recession. There's quite a few of them just since I've become an adult. And that's something. I mean, they just keep happening every few years, it seems like. And I don't know, 7, 8, 10 years. Well, it's been the recession that precipitated the housing bust that went on was, I believe, in the end of 2005. No, the recession.
I did go through the housing thing.
Recession was 2007. The housing bust was 2005.
I lost money selling a house in Florida during that.
Sure.
Let's go to your calls and thoughts here, and we can continue on, you know, predictions and that sort of thing. But also, I want to make sure you know about local.bitcoin.com. One of the solutions we'll talk more about is diversifying what whatever wealth you have outside of the U.S. dollar and getting out of their financial system, because Satoshi Nakamoto, when he or she or whoever they are created Bitcoin back in 2009, Satoshi Nakamoto gave us a way out that wasn't just gold and silver, which those are fine ideas as well. I like precious metals too. This is something that no one is in control of, that it's truly money that you actually are in control of, the individuals are in control of, rather than the banks in the centralized power of government gangs around the world. So if you're ready to get into buying some Bitcoin Cash, which is one of the cryptocurrencies out there, one of the top, I think, four, go to local.bitcoin.com. That's where you can buy or sell Bitcoin Cash on a global trading platform with no identification requirements. You're used to a bunch of ID and paperwork when you're dealing with banks. Not so when it comes to a lot of the cryptocurrency world, and local.bitcoin.com is a shining example of that. Also, communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted on the site. So it's a global trading platform that respects your privacy, which makes it really different. Go to local.bitcoin.com to get started trading Bitcoin Cash with dozens of payment methods. That's local.bitcoin.com. John is on the line in Dover, Delaware, listening to WDOV. Hello, John.
Hello, my name is John. My verbs are bite, kick, punch.
All right.
Yes. I was going to talk about vaping because I couldn't think of much else to talk about, but you guys pretty much ruined that for me. So
sorry, buddy. Go ahead.
I guess I'll talk about the currency flow issue you guys are talking on. Listen, man, it's not that hard, man. You got to have at least two things going on. You got to have one job to cover all the ends, all the bills, make the ends meet. Mm-hmm. And then you got to have a little side gig or something part-time. You just got to work extra hard at it.
Like selling crack cocaine.
Stick away. I wouldn't suggest selling crack cocaine, but if it takes
I think the market fell out in like 1992.
Man, exactly. I haven't seen anybody selling crack cocaine here recently.
Well, somebody's
Delaware
selling it here in Keene, New Hampshire, because there's people smoking crack.
I was in jail for civil disobedience
with a guy that was a crack smoker.
As long as there's cocaine, there will always be crack smokers.
No, but what were you? What did you mean when you said
deal here now?
They're really into that stuff here.
In my area, it's a damn shame.
It is. But that has to do with depression. Heroin use and drug abuse, you know, for instance, drug abuse has to a lot to do with people who don't see a bright future. These are people who are, you know, overburdened perhaps with debt and
these
stuck.
Are people that watch too much of the mainstream media. It's depressing. Look what they feed everybody. Look what's going on. These people need to turn the TVs off. I refuse to watch a television. I know it may sound lame to everybody else, but I like the radio, man. At least I get half of the honest truth off the stereo. Everything that's on TV is a lie, and it's a pipe dream that they feed everybody. And even the media, they're all a bunch of, not the media, excuse me, the media is Democrats. But the Democrats are a bunch of actors and actresses, and so are the Republicans. They're not politicians anymore. They just want to be famous. They want to get on television, and they want it to be a
well, the old joke about politics is it's Hollywood for ugly people.
You got that right. Yeah. It used to be Hollywood for real ugly people before they were all on television. Think about it now. Everybody got the plastic
surgery.
No,
they're still ugly.
Nancy Pelosi's 120 years old.
I mean, I'll give AOC a pass, but she's young still. She's probably going to turn into a grizzled old hag. Hey, thanks for the call, John. I appreciate it.
All right.
Toll free number if you want to join us. 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733.
It's not like they didn't warn us. I mean, poly meaning many, ticks meaning bloodsuckers, right?
They're not going to be pretty. Have you ever looked at a tick under a microscope? My God, it's a horrifying monstrosity.
Well, yeah, they're little monsters. I don't see any particular value with calling politicians ugly.
How about scum of the earth?
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Generally, they're very successful liars and thieves.
They are. Well, I mean, not as well. They're successful, but they could have been more successful if they'd like had some business sense. Or
and
something.
It's, you know, people like to refer back to the Constitution, and I think that if the government abided by the Constitution, we'd be in significantly better stead than we currently are. But besides that, the Constitution sets up a system where the most successful person at campaigning is the one who gets the job. And that's not a doesn't seem like a particularly good way to choose a person to do that job. Mm. I think we'd be better off at this point if we randomly picked a new president every year. I mean, you know, we'd be better
I
off.
I think we'd be better off with no Washington, D.C. and no president.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with that necessarily either, but, you know, at
nobody
this point,
deserves that kind of power.
The move.
And I'm including nobody, who is our co-host during the week.
Right. So the president, when the Constitution was written, didn't have a lot of power. Presidents are to go out and.
Well, that changed.
Yeah. Absolutely, because people want a face on whatever the organization is. So, and power tends to consolidate.
Sure.
It's a federation, it's supposed to be. A 50 sovereign states with one government that basically takes care of the military and ensures that interstate commerce is respected. And that's all it should be doing. It does much, much more. So anyway, you were going to ask me about the repo rate?
Yeah, absolutely. But we're also going to talk to AC, who is on the line on Discord. AC, where are you calling from tonight?
Ohio.
All right. Welcome to Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
I sound okay.
No, actually, you sound terrible. I don't know if you've got a connection issue or whatever, but
yeah, you're modulating.
We'll tell you what, we're going to put you on hold here, and we'll check you in just a moment. Maybe we'll do a reconnect and see if that'll clear things up. So we can talk about, again, some of the more financial issues that people may be facing here in the United States. Why are things, you know, possibly going to be getting worse? That is Mark's prediction that they are going to. How soon? Don't know. How bad? Don't really know.
It isn't going to be good.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's bad for you now, if you're just climbing out of the hole, and I think that's what a lot of people are doing, well, you better decorate the hole because you're going
staying.
Back in.
855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms, and usually they sound pretty good. Over at discord.lrn.fm, that's also where you can get tipped by people in the chat room with our cool new crypto tip. This is Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms. They're over at discord.lrn.fm, and I want to say thank you to Sean E. There's a bunch of E's there. Sean E, who is a gold amplifier. That means that Sean is contributing $10 per month to the Free Talk Live AMP program, and AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. That is a way for you to get behind what we do here at Free Talk Live. If you appreciate what we do, which is talk about the ideas of freedom and, you know, financial responsibility on occasion as well, but freedom and liberty and peace and cryptocurrency on a 7-night-a-week basis on broadcast radio on over 200 radio stations coast to coast. You appreciate that kind of work. You appreciate the fact that it's free, that you can download archives, you can watch us on Twitch and DLive, and you can do all that stuff for free. Then please get behind the AMP program for $5 a month, or in Sean's case, he's doing 10. And we appreciate that too. Go to amp.freetalklive.com. You can sign up there with PayPal. You can use credit card. You can use Bitcoin BTC at ampamp.freetalklive.com. And I got to apologize to AC. We got distracted having a conversation during the break, so I didn't actually check on his call like I said that I was going to. So we'll get to you, AC. Stand by. He had some connection issues on our Discord. But let's go first to Winston. We've been talking about money and talking about financial responsibility. Winston, you're on Free Talk Live watching us on Twitch.
LRN.FM.
All on Nights with Mark in the studio. I've unbanned him from Nights You're Not in the Studio. We had him on last night for a whole segment, tried to figure out what his problem is. He's still all mad about somebody saying he had 3 DUIs instead of 2 or whatever it was, or 1. So anyway.
Yeah, for those that don't know, he's
a very angry man.
He's very angry. Very angry. I think that's probably the best
way to describe it. You want to find out more about him, listen to last night's episode. There's a whole segment with him. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. So we've been talking about finances. Mark, you mentioned this repo rate. This is not doesn't have to do with taking back cars that right. have not had payments made.
No, the repo rate is basically this. It hasn't had to be, you know, they haven't had to do this since like 2008. But very recently, some banks have needed some to borrow overnight mm-hmm. to cover their legal requirements. So there's what they call fractional reserve banking is what we do in the United States. So a bank needs to have a certain percentage in deposits for the amount that it has in loans.
Right. It's like 9-to-1 or something right. like that.
And it really can't do anything about its loans very well. But it can go and borrow from the Federal Reserve overnight at a low rate. But when lots of banks are doing this, the Federal Reserve needs to make lots of funds available mm-hmm. and the rate tends to go up and, you know, just a whole variety of things. So it's not good. It's showing instability in the marketplace. Plus,
what is showing instability? The repo, the more banks are doing more of these loans.
Banks have to legally borrow. Mm-hmm. And haven't had to for years.
I see. So if they're in a pinch, they don't have enough money in the vault. Right. They need to make more loans. They then have to borrow more money to make the more loans. Is that the
idea? They just need the money. People have taken their deposits out.
This is what you mentioned. You mentioned a run on the banks, but nobody's talking about it. This is news to me because nobody's talking about it.
That's me. So. That's some conjecture.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why banks need to borrow on the repo rate. Maybe they've just made a bunch of irresponsible loans. That's another
possibility.
Which
isn't unheard of.
Or a bunch of people are sitting on cash because they don't trust the banks. And if they don't trust the banks, then, you know, it means you shouldn't. If you don't trust banks, you shouldn't be holding dollars. You shouldn't be holding fiat currency at all, euros or drachma or whatever. You shouldn't be holding any government currency if you don't trust the banks, because the banks create the currency.
Well, you shouldn't trust the government central banks. Now, the banks that, you know, the average person deals with are not the central banks. They're like the little members of the central bank, basically.
Yeah.
The various corporate banks out there, for instance, you know, Bank of America or whatever. These are the consumer business banks. But they are all tied into that Federal Reserve and that monetary policy and the dollar, or you fill in your whatever. If you're listening internationally, you fill in your local what they call fiat currency. That's a currency that's issued by fiat, by decree, by the king or, you know, the government or dictator or whoever, that says, there shall be Bolivar. And then they print however many amount that
they feel like
the central bankers feel they can get away with. And so I agree with you that people really ought to get out of the dollar as much as they possibly can. And what's funny is
no, I said if you don't,
I'm going to say you should get out of the dollar.
I think that's good advice. Like one of the things that I would say that you should do here in the near future, if you have some dollars, if you're one of these people that's actually gotten out of the hole is that you should be looking at gold, silver. You should be looking at Bitcoin. A lot of rich people are going into bonds. I don't see bonds as a good choice right now, personally.
Isn't that a government investment? I don't know much about it.
No, bonds are any business could basically puts out a loan out of the market.
There are government bonds, though, right?
It's a loan for, it's a private loan from the marketplace. There are what they call muni bonds, sure,
right?
And those are tax free and those sorts of things. And I don't know whether I don't have any of them personally.
I wouldn't invest in government.
But there's a few places I think you can go, but I would look at cryptocurrency. I think that there's going to be another run. It seems like cryptocurrencies do better in places that are having
financial
trouble.
Yeah, they do.
And that could be if the United States has financial trouble, it could imperil the position of the dollar as the world's reserve currency. Right now, when China makes a contract to buy oil from Saudi Arabia, it's likely that that contract is in U.S. dollars. If that position ever is threatened, if it ever becomes, people aren't doing business in dollars anymore, then the market shrinks for dollars dramatically. Dollars aren't just used inside the United States and Panama and a few other countries. They're used globally for global markets. When and if they stop using them globally and start using anything else, Bitcoin, a basket of currencies created by the World Bank, the euro, the ruble, whatever it is, if they switch for whatever reason, then your dollar, it just crashes the market. And I don't know, I'm not claiming that's what's going to happen, but it could.
Well, the dollar is kind of funny because I follow cryptocurrency related news in a lot of cases. It's one of the things I'm interested in. And so I get that, how Google has their little news feed. They know what you search for, so they know what you want to see in news feed, right? Well, one of the sort of related stories to cryptocurrencies is obviously stuff regarding fiat, like the dollar. And I've been seeing a lot of dollar propaganda pieces out there. And I wish I had one of the headlines in front of me right now, but they've basically been like, looks like the dollar is the world's refuge and for people that care about value or whatever. And here's a headline. I just typed in dollar into Google News search from CNBC, published 2 days ago. Dollar hits highest level in 2 years. Now, of course, they're just comparing the dollar to other fiat currencies.
Sure, that's what they do compare them to.
Because the dollar isn't buying more today than it was 2 years ago, than it was 20 years ago. It's buying less than it was.
The second largest market in the world is China, and Trump complains, rightly so, that China artificially devalues its currency in order to put itself in a better trading position. Trump actually wants to see the dollar decrease against other currencies in the marketplace.
He wants to see it decrease, meaning lose its value compared to other fiats?
Yes, because that would be advantageous for trade.
How?
Because people would be able to send their goods for, over here and trade for dollars at a better rate, and that's what would make them happy. So it would be good for international trade.
That hurts Americans, though.
No, it doesn't. It hurts Americans that want to travel, but it benefits China. Right. So it would benefit the U.S. I can see why Trump wants to do it. I won't mess with those things. Wouldn't mess with those things if it was my choice. I say,
well, can he accomplish what he's talking about through massive printing of the dollar?
Trump doesn't sit on the board of the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, but the president appoints somebody there.
I understand. The Federal Reserve should not make decisions based on politics, and it's part of their mandate.
Oh, they would never do that.
Well, it's part of their mandate.
And the fact is the Federal Reserve exists because of politics. It exists because they are the federal government's bitch, and their job is to buy up whatever it is the federal government can't sell anywhere else, as far as its treasuries or whatever financial investments that it sells.
So the president can create debt for the U.S. government with impunity. The Congress does that, spending. Trump should stay the hell out of domestic spending and do what the president's supposed to do, which is foreign policy.
855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Hour number two is on the way, whether you want to talk about finances or an orangutan that's got human rights, according to an Argentinian court, it's now moving to Florida, or the very first ever cannabis cafe to open.
Chronic pain, stress and anxiety, fatigue or lack of focus, dependence on opioids or opiates. John Bush here, owner of Brave Botanicals, inviting you to try a free ounce of kratom, the controversial plant remedy the government doesn't want you to know about. Why, you ask? Well, it's big competition for big pharma. From grandmothers cutting Oxycontin to keep up with their grandkids, to young adults kicking Adderall and quitting drinking, more Americans are turning to kratom to help them through the day. But the government won't stop us. When the credit card companies kicked kratom to the curb, I accepted e-checks and crypto. When Facebook shut down my ad account, I did podcast interviews and advertised on Free Talk Live. And now, to give a big F you to the man, I'm giving away kratom for free. To get your free ounce of kratom, go to freeounceofkratom.com, pay $5 shipping and handling, and I'll send you a free ounce. Visit freeounceofkratom.com to claim your free ounce today. That's freeounceofkratom.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You dial toll free. Bring up whatever you want. Our number, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Coming up, the very first ever, I'm going to say, ever is probably not fair, the very first since prohibition cannabis cafe, cannabis place on or lounge at which people can consume legally cannabis. In this case, it will be West Hollywood. We can talk about that on the way here tonight. Also, we've been discussing finances and what people can do to prepare for what Mark is saying is maybe an upcoming financial crisis or recession, whatever you want to call that. It's Ian and Mark in here tonight. And, of course, we'll take your calls and thoughts about whatever's on your mind. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom.
I'm also, you know, we talked about the repo rate, but I would also point out that, the short-term lending rates have recently gone higher than long-term lending rates. And, a few times we've, crossed that line. That line being crossed often indicates what we used to call a recession. I don't know if we're going to still have recessions in the future. There's been several and the longest running bull run in the stock market in history is, I guess, still going on or something. So what we can't, I mean, at some point or another, no one's fool enough to say that there isn't going to be another economic downturn. When is it going to happen? Well, I'd say we're due. Are there any indications that it's going to happen in the near future? Yes, there are a few. Is that good? Well, no. It's not good for any of us. I don't know how to make money in that particular market. There are financial whizzes that'll claim that they can do that, and good luck to them.
Well, it's hard to, let's say, you do sales for Free Talk Live. It's harder to sell things with people that want to spend, right?
Well, yeah, businesses don't want to spend. Advertising tends to go in the toilet,
right,
when these there's economic downturns and these kind of things, and that happens to lots of businesses. Layoffs happen and those kind of things. So I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, that there's not much that any of us can do about to stop or create an economic downturn. So to some extent, these things are created by people talking about them. Not trying to create one. I don't want that to happen, but I'm not going to stick my head in the sand and just ignore what's going to happen to my listeners.
Well, the last thing you want to do is have yourself in a position where there is a financial downturn, where you then have to turn to the government for some kind of an assistance, when these are the people who put you in the position in the first place.
Well, that's what they want.
That is what they want.
Break your leg and give you a crutch, and then you can't live without them.
I want to go to AC. He's cleared up his connection here, and he's on Discord with us. AC, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So earlier today, I saw this video called ANCAP Debunked. And I went to the comment section, and you could not believe the socialist ignorance that went into that comment section.
ANCAP stands for anarcho-capitalist, two of the worst, most misunderstood words in the language.
For describing a libertarian.
Language slammed together into one.
Yeah.
So what is it that you saw that was so offensive or worthy of discussion?
Well, so I went back and started putting some comments on here. I responded to a comment from a guy who was trying to debunk the NAP. And
the
I don't
NAP is the non-aggression principle. That is the...
You sound like you're really wound up about this.
Yeah. go ahead.
It's funny. It's like I love people like this. I don't know if I'll get a chance to get through all these comments. But if I don't, I can always call in another time because they're pretty funny. It's stuff I like stuff like this because it entertains me. So this guy, his first comment he made was he said he was talking about he's trying to debunk the non-aggression principle, and he says, you know, I want to introduce, and he says that, hey, I want to introduce a three-step ANCAP to monopoly fascist program which does not violate the NAP.
Institute a three-step program to what? A fascist? I'm sorry. You're still a little muffled.
I'm sorry. He basically is trying to debunk the NAP, and he's saying, I would like to introduce a three-step ANCAP to monopoly fascist program.
Meaning you would be an ANCAP when you start the program, and then after the person's three steps, you become a monopoly fascist?
No, he's trying to say how an ANCAP can lead to fascism, if they do anything.
I thought that's what I just said. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, that's what he said. That's what this guy. Okay, and he claims that this idea does not violate the NAP. Number one, buy the land your workers live on. Two, make the price of having the privilege in air quotes to live on the land be all that they possess. Now you possess all. And then
step one is already a failure because once your workers start to realize you're trying to buy up all their land, they'll just raise their prices.
Yeah.
Okay, what was step three?
Step three, now that you possess all the land, enjoy your life as a totalitarian dictator.
Yeah, I mean, this is the typical belief, by the way, thank you for the call tonight, AC, I appreciate it. We'll definitely talk about it, but this is a pretty common belief that the business owner is evil, and the business owner's desires are to ruin the lives of their employees or the people that work for them or their contractors. And while there may be, have been some bad business owners in the past, for the most part, that's not a particularly profitable, position to be coming from, because you want to treat your employees well because you want them to appreciate the job and stick with it and, do a good job rather than abusing them and trying to, steal their property from them or jack them around in some way or another. I mean, the attitude of the socialists towards business is very, very unfriendly. They really don't understand a thing about running a business or taking care of people who, do the things you want them, that they're helping you become wealthy.
So if I was to look at who the lords are these days and who would stand to benefit to lose if somebody was to create a situation where they, the serfs moved off the plantation or whatever it is that this guy's talking about, I'd look directly to the government. I mean, the functional difference between serfdom and what we have today with property taxes isn't much, mm-hmm. right? So, slaves had their whole volition taken away. Serfs, they were bound to the land. They couldn't move, but they had to, work a certain amount for the Lord on his property, and then they could have their own. Us today, well, in order to live on your property, all you have to do is pay the government to live there. Now, right. That sounds like rent, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Well, so the government's the big landlord out there. Whether it's the, whatever municipal government, it's all tied to the state government. The state government's tied to the federal government. It's all one big thing. So what I hear this person who's arguing in this situation is all they're doing is arguing for the status quo, which is you've got to continue paying your taxes to the Lord. The Lord, they're the best, and they're not, right? The government is obviously the worst service organization, because we know business will do this. Business will provide the least amount of service at the highest price that it can in the marketplace. When you have a monopoly, then you have somebody providing the least amount of service and the highest price that will prevent basically a revolt. And when you government institute a monopoly, and that's what the government is, they say nobody can compete against us. So they provide terrible service. They provide it at a high price, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Okay, but what about the objection? Because the socialist who was likely making that comment, typically they'll bring up this company store idea. The idea that, you libertarians, you may believe in treating your employees well, but look at these examples from the past where the companies would own the housing and the companies would own the store and they would all their people would have to go and work.
They'd still do. They've just socialized the cost to the rest of us. When the rich people run the government, and that's what happens, well, they just want the serfs to pay for their own areas. It's just free range serfdom at this point. Nothing really has changed from what they're talking about. It's just that now they have this big lie that you somehow control it because you're part of the government.
Well, now they call it property tax instead of quit rent, right?
Right.
We're coming up. This is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live, live Saturday edition of the show. Toll-free numbers open for you at 855-450-FREE. Whether you want to talk about finance and the state of Americans and their abilities or inability to take care of themselves financially, there's some pretty sobering statistics out there. And what to do as a potential looming threat of financial disaster is on the horizon. Of course, people have been saying this for a long time, and how bad is it going to be, and where is it going to be? Is it going to be a student loan bubble that pops? Is it going to be something with the fiat currency where the dollar loses its dominance around the planet, or something we can't predict at this point? You're welcome to weigh in here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. We're going to go back to your phone calls and thoughts. And then on the way, we'll also get into some good news out of California with legal cannabis cafes. At least one of them is set to open up, the first one since Prohibition. And we go to your phone calls and thoughts first, though. He is Mortified Penguin on our Discord server. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I wanted to call in after Mr. AC had called in about some YouTube comments that he didn't like. First of all, I probably wouldn't, be looking for intellectual debate in YouTube comment section. But since he did watch a video on ANCAPs, I kind of want to respond to that.
ANCAPs are anarcho-capitalists.
Right. Oh, yeah. Anarcho-capitalists.
This is an extreme form of libertarianism, and it, in my opinion, is
with poorly, a terrible name.
Poorly labeled.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, you can blame Mr. Rothbard for that.
I do.
I blame people for continuing to use it.
Right. I mean, this is just an academic trying to come up with a term. I think that a far more effective term is voluntarist, but,
it was intended to be pretty provocative. It was totally. I've been talking about that a lot lately with some people. And, totally intended.
Okay. So where were you going?
We have to look at obviously, the critique that he saw in the YouTube comment section, not surprisingly, was just as intellectually, vulgar critique of property and stuff, probably from some socialist, who knows, some ANCAPs are. But, you have to look at property absolutism and say, okay, what in a free society, in a free world, just snap, the government disappears. What is legitimate property? Because you could have two guys divide the whole world into parcels and split it between them. Now, that wouldn't be legitimate property, but neither would it be to say that, people have no right to possess, the things that they use where they live, the home they live in, the tools they use to do their jobs, the things that they sink their, invest their time and money in. Mm-hmm. Clearly, they have a right to have, very real possession of that thing and the products of their labor. All property isn't equal. So we live in a rigged system, and it was very much rigged by people who largely, and we have a very, you know, diffused system of property. We all have the ability to, you know, invest in property, own homes in many cases, maybe some investment properties, who knows. But we have a rigged system of large land ownership that, you know, originally is recognized by many, you know, classical liberal and libertarian thinkers as being, you know, most great land holdings of the past have been won in wars, won in conflict, not really ever acquired in history through voluntary means. So, okay.
Yeah, that's true of a lot of land, I guess. What about it, though? Where are we going from this?
That's the true of government property. That's true of much corporate ownership of property. Mm-hmm. And so, to just defend the property as it exists in our society, subsidized by taxpayer, you know, stolen taxpayer funds to honestly privilege and guard the property of the most wealthy and you know, people of the most means.
You're saying, hold on, just to clarify what you're saying, I want to make sure I'm not getting lost here. You're saying that the government is taxing people and then using that money to guard the property of the wealthy? I mean, in my experience, the wealthy tends to hire their own guards, right? Like, they don't want the
police.
Well,
not private property. But the property of the corporations that they own through.
Usually,
you know,
corporations are going to have their own private security. I mean, they don't want to rely on government police to protect their land. Now, certainly the government is protecting
their own. Runs a system of deeds.
Huh?
The government runs a system of deeds, the mm-hmm. system of police, the system of, you know, of laws that. And the infrastructure that benefits greatly.
Biggest landowner in the United States is the federal government, and they would use obviously government and taxpayer resources to guard that land and to enforce upon it, as we saw with the Malheur Federal Wildlife Refuge and the folks in Nevada that the Bundy Ranch, I guess it was, yeah. That were, you know, trying to just,
trouble with the BLM.
Right. The Bureau of Land Management. Of course, the Bureau of Land Management has gotten in the way of, you know, events like the Black Rock Desert, where they have Burning Man every year, making it difficult for those folks. But, I mean, it seems for the most part that wealthy people don't rely on the government for protecting their land. I mean, ultimately, if their private security rounds up somebody who's a trespasser, they're going to turn them over to the government. So, I mean, at some level... Go ahead.
Isn't that not government's primary function to guard, to maintain property and guard property rights? And that's what they do. I don't really see. And that includes intellectual property, physical property.
Well, I mean, obviously the county recorder's office has deeds at this point, and that is one of the – you know, that is one of the things that local governments tend to do is divvy up the land, and they have on file who owns what. That's not to say that couldn't be done in the marketplace without the government.
It could be done on the blockchain right now.
Yeah, I mean, it could be done much more efficiently, certainly without government. But, you know, is that their primary function? No, it seems like their primary function is to reward their friends and punish their enemies.
Yeah, and their friends tend to have a lot of private property in the most illibertarian sense, and have ever since the the state was invented, the modern state came about, and I think that's completely intentional as the function of the state. Murray Rothbard mentioned briefly mentioned the essay I pulled up, Confiscation and the Homestead Principle, and this was in the radical 60s when Murray Rothbard was very much part of the radical 60s. Hear about homesteading, the illegitimate property of the state and the corporations, and he mentioned some of the very largest corporations, I think like Dow Chemical, General Dynamics and stuff. Corporations that
were
at
the time. So you're calling to
promote
the idea of homesteading, which I think is a fine idea. I think homesteading is a good idea, and I think that all of the government land out there should be open to homesteading. I mean, people should be able to go out there and set up shop or set up a tent or build a house and claim some of that government land. I mean, right now they own or they claim at least 2/3 of the land west of the Mississippi. But I don't know if that – I don't think somebody should necessarily be able to set up a house inside somebody's factory.
I don't think they should be able to take over Old Faithful either. People are going to want to preserve different – geological features.
Well, yeah, and how to get from here to there is another important question. And how do you define what property is? I think was what Mortified Penguin's original question was. And I think that's a long discussion, one we don't have time for here, but I appreciate the call because not everybody's going to agree on that. And ultimately, the people who see property in one way or people who don't believe in property, like some commies or whatever, they should probably move together and not be living in the same place. That way they're not always arguing.
They want your property. They don't want to live together.
Well, that's what guns are for. There's more coming up here. 855-450-FREE. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live. Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform at local.bitcoin.com, allowing you to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash via dozens of payment methods like PayPal, Venmo, bank deposit, remittances, or meeting in person with cash. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and use the site, and all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted. Finally, a global trading platform that respects your privacy. Visit local.bitcoin.com to get started trading Bitcoin Cash. local.bitcoin.com. It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. Our toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. That is where you will sound a lot better than if you just call in on the regular old phone lines, which you can still do. We still have those. 855-450-FREE is our regular phone number, and it is the live Saturday edition. Joining you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Ian.
And me, Mark.
And speaking of financial alternatives.
Yeah, we're talking about gold here, and gold's definitely been on the move recently. It's historically known to be one of the most secure investments, and McIlvaney ICA has a free report that you can download if you'd like to learn more about investing in precious metals. The report is The 6 Advantages of Adding Precious Metals to an IRA and How You Can Double Your Ounces. That's pretty impressive. How you can double your ounces. Get it online at icagoldsilver.com. McIlvaney ICA is also offering a free portfolio review. All you have to do is give them a call. They are America's foremost precious metals advisors, and they have been since 1972. ICA pioneered and practices leading strategies for compounding ounces. They've been helping people take delivery of precious metals with both domestic and international fine storage options for decades. They can help you if you're a little guy or a big guy, whatever it is. They have helped thousands of investors with precious metals IRAs. I think those are going to be on the move here soon, too, because, well, that's where people go when stocks go down. Call ICA today for your free portfolio review at 800-525-9556. It's 800-525-9556. You can download their free report at icagoldsilver.com. 800-525-9556, icagoldsilver.com.
We go to more of your calls and thoughts. Let's talk to David. He's in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Yeah, so more on this game that's being played. You said earlier in your program that college is a scam, at least in many instances.
Yeah, I think so.
And I would say colleges are virtually universally such, or universities are universally such a scam that nobody should attend them anymore. You should be boycotting them because they are used as a method of control. And
well, not only are they controlling people's minds, but they're also controlling them by the purse strings because they end up in serious amounts of debt. So they end up brainwashed by the system and in debt to it.
Well, hold on. Let's back off for a second, fellas, before we throw everybody into the next dark age. Doctors, engineers.
Yes, this is your common disclaimer.
Right. Well, I mean, mm-hmm. We do need people to get certain specialized training.
Let me interrupt you, Mark.
Go right ahead.
You're miseducating your audience. We do not need universities to create fine physicians or fine engineers. We do not need our current universities. In fact, you don't need any universities at all, and I would suggest that you would have better doctors and engineers if a kid who wants to be a doctor goes to a doctor's office clinic and arranges to work there and learn there.
That's a great
and
point.
Become a doctor.
If it weren't for the university system, then hospitals and these different organizations, engineering firms or whatever, would just do their own training. They'd come up with their own system to put people through whatever is necessary to make them competent in those areas. I think that you're right about that. We don't need these old centralized systems.
No, and in fact, we would be far better off without them because they're being used as a device, a tool to, as you said, brainwash and create a revenue stream and create a power stream. So they're using them like, yes, like everything that our current people in power have learned over the last 200 years, how to use every aspect of your society, especially your universities, in order to gain power and money and fame and control. We absolutely, one, we don't need them, and two, you'd be better off in terms of a better education for physicians and engineers if you went directly and learned from those that are currently doing that work, brain surgeons, rocket surgeons, et cetera. And so that was the beginning of my point. Now, if you look at your university system going back under the heading of scams, oh, and let me throw in that once again, I'm speaking from I have knowledge that the retiring head of the FBI in the New Mexico region said that New Mexico is the most corrupt state in the nation. So in this state, one of the universities, the University of New Mexico, and they keep convincing their private police force, the University of New Mexico Police Force, to charge me over and over and over again every time I make a phone call to somebody who's not covered under the previous case. And so that's just evidence of the racketeering that's going on that I just alleged. Now,
yeah, they have a special connection with the state because the college system is state funded. Unlike, let's say, Mark, who might call the police for some sort of services, and they basically tell you to screw off.
Right, I can't get
after somebody's been calling you with threatening phone calls.
Right.
Happens.
So
thanks for the call, David. I appreciate it.
I think there's another thing that needs to be pointed out. He was talking about sort of how universities are used in the power structure, and it's worth pointing out that there's sort of Ivy League schools, mm-hmm, right? And I use this term loosely because people don't exactly know what an Ivy League school is.
There's a certain set of schools that are certainly schools. They're very fancy.
They're in a football football league called the Ivy League.
Oh, is that where that comes from?
But they're all
pre-Revolutionary
War universities.
Uh-huh.
And most people can't name them all. And
no, I couldn't.
So therefore, if you can't name them, you wouldn't know which one it was.
Harvard's one of them, I think.
Harvard. Pretty much everybody can name Harvard. Yeah. Can you give me a couple more?
No.
Yale and Princeton?
I've heard of them.
Okay.
Well, I don't know where they are.
Those are two more. Well, Princeton.
Is Harvard in Connecticut?
Harvard is in Massachusetts.
See, I don't know anything about these fancy schools.
Princeton's in New Jersey, and I believe Yale's in Connecticut. Dartmouth is a...
Oh, yeah, that's in New Hampshire.
Yep, Dartmouth is probably the fourth one that people know. Then there's Cornell and Columbia,
Cornell's an attorney school, right?
Yeah, and then there's University of Pennsylvania, which is...
This is where all the rich people send their kids, right?
That's where Donald Trump went, University mm-hmm. of Pennsylvania, and the last one's escaping me at this point.
This is trivia. I really don't care.
Well, the point is that there's schools like MIT and Oxford mm-hmm. and Stanford, and there's a few other schools out there that would be considered great schools, but yeah, they're not Ivy League. So I'm just kind of using the term loosely. 80% of presidents in my lifetime have gone to Ivy League schools or military universities or military colleges, and that is kind of this system for picking who gets to be in charge and who doesn't. If you walk into a room and you say, I went to Harvard, then suddenly you have a control and a power and a gravitas in that room.
Not in my room.
Maybe
I don't care.
Maybe that's true for you, but maybe
sound like a prick to me. Get out of here.
There's a lot of people that feel differently.
Uh-huh.
Like the vast majority of people are going to defer to somebody who went to Harvard. Yeah, absolutely.
People are that sad and pathetic. Like they're going to care where somebody went to school. What have you really done? That's what
badge.
I want to know.
Well, I mean, it's a place to start. What have they really done?
You got a piece of paper from some fancy-ass school? I don't care.
Well, they managed to make it to president. I'd say that
not impressed with that either. That just means you're a thug.
That there's probably 5,000 jobs in the world that you can't – that you are going to be very difficult – much more difficult mm-hmm. to get if you don't have one of these important university degrees.
Sounds boring to me.
Well, you don't want to live that life,
yeah,
and that's fine.
Right.
I'm just saying that that's another way that
let them have their caviar or whatever it is they're into.
Well, they
fancy
get
stuff.
Those 5,000 jobs largely are jobs that control people through government or big business.
All the more
and
reason I'm
like,
not interested.
I understand yeah. that, but
they're
already controlling you, whether you are impressed or like it or whatever.
I don't know. I kind of do what I want.
Well, but they control the monetary system you use.
They control Bitcoin.
They control the telecommunication systems that you use.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
probably didn't write Signal, though, which is the messaging app that I use.
No, I think that was Moxie somebody, yeah.
Yeah. 855-450-FREE. Not impressed with all that stuff. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. 855-450-3733. You can have your fancy education. I think that you get a better education just by living life and seeking out the things that are more interesting to you. And if what's interesting to you is sitting in some college, then, you know, God has blessed you. More coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want here. We got time for you. We got plenty of it, actually. An entire hour still to go with you tonight on the live Saturday edition. You've got Ian.
And Mark.
Coming up, the very first since Prohibition lounge or cafe in the United States to open up in West Hollywood that's going to allow people to consume cannabis legally on the premises. We will share that with you. And, of course, you can bring up whatever's on your mind. We've been talking about finance. Potentially some sort of financial disaster in the future, what one could do about that, and also led into a discussion about the educational system and property rights. And so we got Pat on the line listening in Michigan. Pat, where are you calling from in Michigan tonight?
The Thunder Bay, up in the top of the mitten.
Thunder Bay. Welcome to Free Talk Live. Go ahead, sir.
All right. Well, I guess I'm piggybacking on a couple of your callers.
That's fine.
The educational system has been hijacked, you know, as well as the government's been hijacked. And
Slow down. Now, when you say the government's been hijacked, by whom and when?
Well, by the powers that be, the eternal they, the money people.
Been in charge of the government?
Well, I guess, but the people that wrote the initial paperwork, the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and whatnot, they were a lot smarter than they're given credit for, but their meanings have been distorted over the years, and there's, you know, like I said, things have been hijacked.
Mm. Okay, and so, it, I mean, they were not, like landowners, though, back then,
It's not simple to determine or ascertain, but it is what it is.
There's no doubt those men, by comparison, weren't as powerful as the ones that are in those positions today, so I guess I can see what you're saying. Go ahead.
All right, but the inadequacy of the educational system is passed on to the university system, and it's also brainwashing. I mean, it doesn't teach them the original founding, you know, and if you don't know the foundation, you can't rebuild the structure. But I guess the other thing I'm pointing at here is, like, all these Ivy League universities, they were probably founded by people that came over here and were apprentices. They didn't go to college. They went and they learned from somebody that knew how to do. And Lord knows that the universities are full of people that can't do, and that's why they go to teach, because the people that can do are out there making money.
It's true.
Well, and also, university is a business, and if somebody demands to have a degree in underwater basket weaving or women's studies or whatever the degree du jour is, communications, I think it bears mentioning that the degree that one would get to do my job is basically worthless.
Left-handed puppetry too, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, if you would be better off if you wanted to do my job starting your own podcast, because, you know, the radio industry doesn't seem interested at all in new talent. So, you know, you'll make more money doing a YouTube channel than you would, doing this. But basically crappy degrees are almost always there because somebody will pay money for them too. And so that shows where the public's failing also.
Well, the labor force is screaming for carpenters and you know, welders and people that can actually get things done.
I've never seen a poor plumber.
That's why we need more Mexicans.
Out of universities, they just don't seem like they have the to-do attitude.
Right. That's why we need to open the southern border and the northern border and let people come in here to the United States with a to-do attitude so they can take those jobs and get them done for less. Don't you agree?
Well, I don't know about totally opening the borders. I mean, there's got to be some kind of control because
why?
Lord knows everybody wants to
wait a minute. I thought you liked the way the country was back when it was founded. There wasn't any control back then. It was, you know, way more free. People would just come
what
in.
What I'm saying was the educational system was basically handed down by the people that were here getting things done already. You didn't have to pay for it.
But
you
the founding fathers, I mean, you gave the founding
fee,
fathers a lot of credit, Pat, for being, you know, pretty smart guys. And they did not have a system for immigration. It did not exist. It wasn't even a concept that was considered.
At that point, we had a whole continent we were trying to fill up, and it wasn't
we
the
still
best
do,
place
my
in
man.
The world to live.
I don't know if you've noticed, but I think it's, what, 96% of the United States or somewhere thereabouts is completely unurban, completely, like, wide open spaces. Plenty of room here.
Well, yeah, that's true, but yeah. There's a lot of places that be that are already overpopulated.
Well, those places would have higher rents.
They can get in. No, I'm talking about the coastal regions where the only place that will give these people insurance is the government. There's a government flood insurance
They
keep rebuilding and rebuilding where people shouldn't have never lived in the first place.
They should. Yeah, that shouldn't exist.
No doubt about that. That doesn't really have anything
exactly.
to do with open borders.
And you're talking about filling up a whole bunch of arid regions where there's obviously people haven't been there because there's not a hell of a lot they can got to subsist
they
on.
They made Vegas in the middle of the desert, so I mean, there's plenty
they
of.
Did have to they did have to divert the Colorado River to do it.
Hong Kong's on a rock. I mean, there's all kinds of places that aren't the most particularly hospitable. But if you give people freedom, if people are allowed to make choices for themselves, you know what? They should be free to set up their camp or whatever, their house or their business in a relative, what other people would consider inhospitable place.
I will agree with you on that much, Ian, that basically if people are free, that they will figure out how to get their resources. They'll pay what it needs to what they need to pay to get their resources. And that's not and the government is probably the worst organization to determine how much, you know, what sort of labor we need in this country. The free market would be a better, you know, arbitrator of that. But I would also agree with the caller here that, I mean, should Americans should stop sending their kids to college just to get a degree for any degree at all, and then they go get worthless degrees,
and
then
debt.
They get out, and then they think that they're going to have a job in whatever that area of that degree is. And in fact, what they needed to do was get a degree in bartending or carpentry or plumbing. Never seen a poor plumber.
You can get degrees in those things. Isn't that technical school where you just kind of go to
right? And technical
learn?
Schools are still cheap.
Right. Hey, thank you, Pat, for the call tonight. I really appreciate hearing from you. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Of course, you can bring up whatever happens to be on your mind. Do want to say thank you to Derek, who is a Free Talk Live Platinum Amplifier. And that means Derek is contributing $25 a month to what we do here at Free Talk Live. And the AMP program, we ask for $5 a month, so he's going way above and beyond what we request, and certainly appreciate it. But we also appreciate folks that are doing the $5 a month, too. You can join the AMP program at amp.freetalklive.com. Get some cool perks like access to the AMP discussion rooms, the supporters discussion rooms on our Discord server. There's an AMP-only Facebook group as well, and other perks that you get access to because you're a Free Talk Live amplifier like Derek, over at AMP, A-M-P, amp.freetalklive.com. More comments, Mark, on the financial status of people in the United States?
Look, all I'm doing is hoping that people start paying off some debt, start getting control of their lives, control their spending. You know, there's a variety of things that people can do. I don't want to sound like, hey, I won this game and you should do like I did, but you know, we cut out a lot of spending, out-of-home food dollar spending at our house. And
I remember when you were doing that.
We cut a lot of extraneous spending. We got rid of the dish TV and, you know, that kind of
smart thing.
Smart.
Read a book.
Well,
get online.
We could still get television entertainment through, at this point, we have Amazon at like $8 a month or something when
we
pay
the
annual.
And what was DirecTV, like $89 a month or something?
Yeah, something
like that.
Yeah. I think it was a $60 a month.
10 factor difference there.
And that's a big difference. And you can, you know, you can stop getting new cars all the time.
Right.
I saw an interesting stat that if you compare two people, one for 45 years, one of them buys a new car every 15 years and pays off that car in 5 years, like, you know, a normal car loan. and then doesn't pay anything for 10 years and then gets another new car and then pays it off in 5 years and right, keeps going. And another person who has a car payment every year, every you know, every month for 15 years, right? They just keep on getting a new car after the old one's paid off, more or less. So the new car every 5 years. That the difference is if you took that money that you saved and you put it into something bearing 8% interest, and you know, they show the S&P 500 stock thing, whatever, you put it in this S&P matching fund thing, that you would have $750,000.
And hold on, this is retirement. Just comparing people who buy new cars. So you're saying you were comparing somebody who buys a new car, pays it off in five, keeps it for 10 versus somebody who just keeps getting them every 5 years.
Right.
So we're not even comparing somebody who's like, I don't know, not buying new cars and instead just buys a used car and then runs that for, you know,
half a used car, you're going to have, I mean, everything has a payment, right? You know, there's a cost.
Upkeep. There's repair.
Right. There's repairs. But this is just sort of looking at these two scenarios together. You know, I had used cars for a long time. I've got a new car now. Pretty happy with
it. I've never had a new car in my life. I can't ever see doing something like that. There's more coming up here in moments. 855, 450, free. I mean, you drive it off the lot, the value tanks immediately.
Not if you buy it right.
More coming up here in moments. I've never heard that there's any other way to buy a new car. More on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
Do you have a crypto wealth advisor or coach? If so, has your cryptocurrency advisor been investing in technology stocks for over 20 years? Have they left the corporate world and retired? Or are they still trying to make a weekly paycheck? Have they produced six-figure results for their customers in the past 30 days? And very importantly, are they a member of the Digital Currency Council? Seth Maniscalco is the founder of Crypto Wealth Coach and CryptoWealthCoach.com. Seth invested in his first Roth IRA at 19 years old while living abroad and has been investing in Wall Street and technology for over 20 years with experience in all the money markets. By comparison, so many of these so-called crypto gurus have barely been alive for 20 years. Seth has not only experienced personal success from his own investments in crypto, he has also helped his clients earn six and seven-figure incomes, including helping investors make over $750,000 in EOS in 90 days and 1,225% in only 5.5 months with Chainlink. Seth has help for the small do-it-yourself guy on Up to Crypto Whales. Increase your wealth. Visit CryptoWealthCoach.com.
It's Free Talk Live. We're launching into the third hour of the program. You can bring up whatever you want. Our toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. We've been focusing a lot on finances and potential for financial calamity. Financial crisis was the term that you used earlier here tonight.
Yeah, I don't have anything better
recession,
to describe it by.
Bad times. So, you know, what do you do to prepare for that beyond, as you pointed out earlier tonight, Mark, the idea of, hey, get your spending under control. You know, try to reduce the things that you are purchasing that you don't really need to purchase. You know, cut back on vices, cut back on habits. And it does take some amount of willpower in order to do that. It may help if you have a partner, somebody you can kind of work with on budgeting and things like that. But you can also reduce expenses beyond just cutting out habits and, you know, things that you might like by taking on a renter or, you know, taking on roommates or something like that. People that, you know, are responsible, obviously that helps. You don't want somebody who's going to make your life more difficult or more costly. So there's kind of a tricky thing to do in some circumstances. But if you can lower your costs by sharing those costs with others, that's another way to hack at it.
Two can live more cheaply than one.
Right. And a lot of immigrants understand this, right? They pack in a lot of cases, as many people as possible into a house. And as long as they're okay with living that way, I don't care. You should be able to live however you want. You should be able to pack them in like sardines, or if you can afford it, live all by yourself in a fancy house, whatever it is that
slowly
works.
Slowly go crazy.
For you. speaking of crazy, Miley Cyrus apparently is backing a cannabis cafe. Now, I don't know if it's crazy to back a cannabis cafe, but you know, she's had her share of incidents. America's First Lounge, this according to Bloomberg, apparently Bloomberg Canada, BNN Bloomberg, whatever that is, their first lounge to allow consuming cannabis in the United States, and I would say since Prohibition started, opens on Monday in West Hollywood. It's called Lowell Cafe and brings a bit of Amsterdam to the U.S. with a fancy name. For the first time in the country, customers will legally be able to order pot as if it were a bottle of wine. And that, in fact, is the upscale analog its owners are aiming for. The cannabis can be smoked in pre-rolled joints or vaped, even as the industry is grappling with a spike in lung damage and deaths linked to vaping. Now, let's clarify here. The industry isn't grappling with this because it's not their problem. The industry has certain, you know, manufacturing standards that they adhere to, and the industry of THC-related vape products is fine. Their products are not the ones that are being accused of killing people. The ones that are accused of killing people are the black market THC vape products, where you don't know where that came from. Right. It may have the same logo as the legal product on it. It may have the same packaging on it, but there's a lot of
counterfeit.
There's counterfeit, right. There's counterfeit packaging out there. You can buy the stuff on like Alibaba. You know what Alibaba is? It's this.
It's like fur and Amazon.
It's like a almost like a wholesaler Amazon. They've got a lot of like wholesale level purchasing that you can do on there. You can buy massive amounts of product from manufacturers in China, basically. And that's what's going on here. Is the Chinese ripoff artists or whatever? They're taking the packaging from legitimate THC vape vendors, and they're aping it, and they're doing a pretty good job of it. There's some articles online that will kind of give you tips on how to tell the difference from one to another. Odds are good, if you're buying the product from a legal outlet, they probably are doing, you know, the legit thing and buying it from the actual manufacturer through a legit distributor.
Unless they got tricked.
If you're buying on the black market, you have no idea what you're getting. But that's the way the black market's always been. And that's why it's nice to see, finally, cannabis getting into a more legalized state. So it's not the industry that's grappling with this. If the industry is doing anything, what they're trying to do is differentiate their products from the ripoffs. So I was reading an article today about a company that spent millions of dollars on new packaging, you know, holograms or whatever, that trying to differentiate their legitimate, the real McCoy packaging from the fakes, just to have the Chinese knockoffs, I mean, rip them off relatively soon thereafter. So it's this sort of ongoing chase, this, you know, sad game that is putting people's health at risk. And it's not because the Chinese manufacturers are evil or whatever. They're trying to kill people or whoever it is that's doing this manufacturing. It may be somebody in the United States. We don't know necessarily where
these black market
carts are coming from. Somebody's cooking up whatever they're putting in there, and it's getting put in there at some point. And in the black market, you have no idea where it's coming from. The blame race lays squarely at the feet of the government's of the world, specifically in this case, the U.S. federal government, the DEA, and their crackdown and the drug prohibition. Because if it weren't for drug prohibition, if cannabis weren't prohibited, then everything, almost every product on the market would be legitimate.
But this is they're aping non-prohibited products.
But so, they're being sold in prohibited places.
Okay. So,
as one of our co-hosts, his name's Nobody, points out, in the black market, you don't know what the supply chain is. Whereas in the legal marketplace, you do know what the supply chain is. It can be found out,
I see.
If necessary. For instance, in Walmart, we've talked about Walmart.
So this is a bigger problem where
this is a problem where black markets exist.
Black markets exist everywhere, but this
true.
Is a bigger problem where marijuana is outlawed.
Prohibited. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there are black markets in the states where marijuana is outlawed or where marijuana is legal, but the reason those black markets exist is because of legalization and all the government regulations that surround it. If we didn't have all those government controls, the black market could be eliminated for the most part by legitimate legal competition between manufacturers and retailers. It doesn't exist.
It's probably not the regulation that's the problem in most of those markets. It's probably the taxation that's the problem in those markets.
That's all a problem because it all adds to the costs.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's all
Dude,
about the
these
cost.
Regulations are ridiculous. I mean, I have not tried reading them because it's likely going to be overwhelming. But some of these regulations involve tagging with RFID tags every single plant that you're growing. The government goons want to know exactly how many plants you have and where they are at all times. There has to be an inventory, and there's very strict restrictions, and there's mandatory testing, and there's all kinds of costs that regulations that they're putting on this business. The taxes are also bad. But the total between regulatory cost compliance and taxes puts the costs of these legal products much higher than they would otherwise have to be. And so the black market people in those markets can still undercut the legal competition. And that's tough for the people in the legal market because they've jumped through all these legit legal hoops, and it's frustrating to see that happen. Let's go to Olivia. She's on the line in Arizona. We'll talk more about the cannabis cafe that's set to open up in Hollywood coming up on Monday. Olivia, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, Ian. Hey, Mark.
Welcome.
I had a quick question because I wanted to ask a question about the financial problems that could or could not be coming, but I did kind of wonder what happened to the 360 view. Y'all did that at least once. That was really cool.
And yeah, where is that thing? It's somewhere in here. It was like, you know, you're talking about the 360 cam. We did like one or two shows, yeah. Sort of experimental gimmick shows where we brought out the 360 cam. Wow, let me see. It was a piece of hardware that it was definitely a gimmick, right? Like, I'm not saying that it's not a technology that doesn't have value or that it's not cool or fun. Basically, for listeners that aren't familiar, you could stream.
The 360 cam is a cam.
Right, but that allowed the viewer to sort of control what they were seeing, right? Unless you were wearing VR goggles, which most of our viewers were not, you could just click on the screen, click and drag, like on the YouTube channel, and you could move. So if the 3D cam or the 360 cam was sitting in the center of our table, which is where it was, you know, Mark, you and I were sitting right across from one another, and so one could then just drag their mouse and watch what your reaction is as I'm talking, or watch me talking, or sit and look at my computer screen, or look over something that's not even happening at all, or maybe look for Jazzy in the background, or whatever. Like, it kind of allowed the viewer to define or direct the viewing experience. And I think that there's a place for that, and I think it's cool. But the technology kind of sucked. It really wasn't, I would say, ready for prime time. The device itself was like a $200 device. I mean, by no means was it the top of the line.
Nor but it was cheap.
It also wasn't cheap. And I was surprised when one of the issues the camera had was it overheated. So if you were using it for some amount of time, it would actually shut down. This device wasn't designed for a three-hour-long radio broadcast. It was designed to, like, you know, take for 5 minutes, go in somewhere and look around or whatever. It was short stuff. Yep, it's Free Talk Live, and you can bring up what you want. Toll-free number 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Or you can call in on our Discord call-in line room over at discord.lrn.fm.
Today, a lot of people are taking control of their own health. They want to make sure to avoid the pain of getting sick, the loss of time at work, and constant medical bills. Good nutrition is a key to looking and feeling great. However, eating right all the time can be a challenge. Travel and work schedules can get in the way, or you may not have the desire or time to shop and cook the right foods. Balance of Nature has the solution. With just 3 Balance of Nature fruit capsules and 3 of their vegetable capsules, you get 10 servings of fruits and vegetables, and that's a lot of nutrition. You know, Balance of Nature customers are reporting that skin looks better and that the bags under their eyes go away. They've got an increase in energy, body pain's reduced or goes away. Getting sick less or not at all. You can go online and become a preferred customer, which gives you the best pricing and free shipping. After your third month, Balance of Nature will ship to you at no extra charge an additional set of fruits and veggies. This is a limited time offer, so don't wait. Go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code FTL. balanceofnature.com, coupon code FTL.
As we continue here, Olivia is still with us on the line watching on YouTube over in Arizona. Hello, Olivia. Continue. You were calling for a different reason, though, right?
Hey, yeah, well, it kind of ties into doing cool things like that because I'm about to start my own business.
Okay.
Like you said, for me personally, college didn't exactly pan out. And so I'm about to start a website where I consult people and offer different services and things like that. And y'all grew a business from the ground up. I mean, libertarianism 20 years ago, hardly anybody was really into it. So how did y'all do that? How did you find people?
I'm pretty sure hardly anybody is still into libertarianism today. I don't know if that much has changed with this.
Ron Paul certainly made a big change, though.
He had an impact on some people. I don't know if libertarianism is bigger now because of Ron Paul. It doesn't feel much bigger to me. You know, well, I don't know what the numbers of the Libertarian Party are showing. Go ahead.
It's one person bigger because of me.
Okay, fair enough.
Y'all got me into it.
But there's also people who get fed up and quit, too. So, I don't know. There's a bit of a churn, I think, involved in political movements because people burn out. They get frustrated with the lack of success. They were just talking on the radio this morning here in Keene, New Hampshire, where we live. There's like a local kind of Politico show on Saturday mornings. They were talking about ballot access requirements here in New Hampshire, and the Republicans and Democrats raised the number from 3% to 4% that they have to get in like a statewide race. So like the gubernatorial race, if the Libertarians get 4%, they get ballot access at the same level as the Democrats and Republicans. Well, it used to be 3%. And then the Libertarians kept getting ballot access, so the Republicans and Democrats raised it in the 1990s, and it hasn't changed since then. And the Libertarians did manage to pull it off in 2016. They got it again because of people's frustrations, I think. My theory is that the Libertarians did particularly well in 2016 across the board, simply because Trump and Hillary were so bad. Some people voted Libertarian and Green out of protest.
Yeah, I think that very few people would disagree with that assessment.
Yeah, and so they Libertarians peaked above 4% in the gubernatorial race in that case in New Hampshire. They got their ballot access, and even with the ballot access, couldn't successfully get 1%. I think it was 1.5% was what their next gubernatorial candidate, who was arguably a better candidate than the one in 2016, received. But she didn't get even half of the vote totals that he did. So for some, that's really frustrating, and eventually it's going to burn them out. But I'm glad to hear that you're interested. So you wanted to know about running a business?
Yeah, like business advice, especially at the beginning when there's like nobody knows about you and you're just kind of getting started.
I'm pretty sure we're still there. I mean, there's a lot of people who don't know that Free Talk Live even exists as far as like within the industry. My job is to call radio stations during the day and talk to program directors. And it's very rare. It does happen that I will call the program director and he'll know what Free Talk – he'll have heard of Free Talk Live or maybe seen one of our advertisements in Talkers Magazine or something like that.
I'm really surprised that that's still the case.
Still the case. Most people don't know who we are unless I happen to have talked to them in the past, right? Like if I've talked
to them. But you've talked to most of them.
I've talked to a lot of them, yeah. But you know, there's a lot of churn in the radio business too where you know some guy is a program director and then he decides to move into a real career.
Are they really program directors though anymore?
Not that many anymore, but you know a lot of people leave radio because – there was one guy, Mark, who programmed a station. Actually, it had great call letters for us. Was WFTL,
yeah.
Down in Southeast Florida. Actually, it was what was that? Fort Lauderdale,
I think it was.
That was, I think, what the F and the TL actually stood for. But in that case, the program director of that station during some of the radio cutbacks, we were talking about the recession in the first couple hours of the show. They came to this program director and said, "Well, we'd like to have you stay on as program director, but you're going to have to take a 50% pay cut." What do you think that guy did?
He, I don't know. He probably went elsewhere.
He packed up and got a job in some productive, you know, area that he could get paid decently at.
Right.
Now most radio companies didn't do that kind of bloodletting, but Cumulus, for instance, which is one of the biggest companies in the business, one of the top two, they told all their employees, "You want to stay on? You got to take a 5% pay cut."
That was years ago, though.
Yeah, it was years ago. There's no doubt about that. But I'm just saying, there's been a lot of churn in the radio business, too, to where program directors who were in the business 10 years ago maybe aren't today. Some of them die off. That happens, too. I've had program directors pass away in the 13 years that I've been doing this job. So,
she was asking about how we got the business set up, and you're just bemoaning some problems. So let me go ahead and...
I'm just trying to make it sound like we're not as big as as she's thinking we are. We're not that big. It's a medium-sized show.
We're the number 26...
You're still here, though.
Yeah, we're still here.
We're the number 26 talk show in the U.S.
And that's because, here's the secret, we cut costs to the bone. We basically have, you know, we don't pay rent because we're in my living room. You know, we're in a nice studio in my living room. And so there's never been like a studio rent payment in downtown Sarasota, Florida or something that we had to pay for.
Take, that's great advice. Mm-hmm. Take on debt as slowly as you can in your business. Mm. The reason that our business worked is because Ian had a skill set of understanding programming on the radio and making the little blinking boxes work. I had the skill set of selling radio ads, and we decided to put something together where we could use our two skill sets. And basically, we chose to create content for free in the hopes that we could, in the future, grow this into something that we could sell. We certainly can, to the point that Ian was just complaining during the breaks that I'm selling too much and he doesn't want to do the work. So yeah. I have to bring on somebody to do some extra stuff. But I mean, you know, those are successes. And I think that, it's fair to mention that. Ian's correct. We are the street preachers of the ideas of liberty. We're going out and trying to find people who don't know these ideas and bring them into the fold. And I think that anybody who understands what the ideas of liberty are, what a libertarian is, that's a success for us. Because usually once they understand it, then they say, oh, well, yeah, that makes perfectly good sense. And, you know, they may not dedicate their life to it. They go off and do whatever they do, but at least they understand.
It's an option, you know?
Don't get in too over your head, I would say. I mean, obviously, a lot of business does require an investment, but certainly I agree with Mark's assessment that if you're going to take on debt, don't do it too much all at once. Ideally, if you can go into business without taking on debt, like if you've got savings and that can do it, I think that's helpful, too, because the less overhead you've got, the better your chances are to survive that first 3 or 6 months or a year. Thank you, Olivia, for the call tonight. There's more coming up.
You will understand the true intent of the Founding Fathers when they wrote the Constitution if you attend this free webinar. Chris Ann Hall, president of Liberty First University, doesn't simply regurgitate what some professor or expert has said about the Constitution. She relays the thoughts and opinions of those who wrote the documents. Her straightforward, passionate, easy-to-understand style lets anyone grasp the principles of liberty. Join us at lfu.freetalklive.com for more details and your exclusive invitation to the free webinar on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Register now at lfu.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free, bring up what you want, and you can take control of the airwaves. 855-450-FREE is our number. We've also got the Discord on-air call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. Not only will you sound better if you're on our Discord server as compared to calling in on the phones, but there's now an additional reason, besides just hanging out with Free Talk Live listeners and chatting about various different subjects. There's different rooms on the Discord server. It's a free service. You don't have to pay anything for it. You can actually make money now. You can earn cryptocurrency on the Discord server just by being tipped by other users there. So we've added this crypto tip bot within the last, I think it was like a week ago, basically. I think it was last Saturday, late Saturday night. I added this crypto tip bot. It's called tip.cc. Now, I will put this warning out there. We don't know who programs this bot. This could be a gigantic exit scam, a really brilliant exit scam. I just want to preface this. But it is a fun bot that allows you to carry cryptocurrency balances associated with your Discord account. So you can deposit, if you already have crypto, you can deposit your crypto in there. And then you can send it to people who are on the server. So let's say, Gene the Christian Anarchist, or we had AC on earlier tonight. Somebody calls in from Discord. You like one of the points they make on the air? Send them 10 cents worth of crypto or a dollar's worth or whatever. You can do that with this tip bot. You can also randomly tip people in the chat room. You can tip everybody who's been active in the last 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever. You can leave airdrops for people to grab and sort of opt into. And there's apparently even like a trivia mode on this bot, which I haven't really even seen how that works yet, but I saw some of the users testing it out recently. And there's even like the bot even has gambling functions, which that's, I suspect, how they're making their money. You know, But we don't get it. This house does not get anything out of the bot. But whoever it is that programmed, the brilliant programmer or programmers who are behind this bot, I presume that's their monetary, that's their plan to monetize the bot if it's not a giant exit scam. So just keep that in mind. Don't put anything into the bot that you don't really want to lose. And you're going to tip it away anyway, right? That's your intention, is you're going to tip people with it. So go to discord.lrn.fm. You can message the tip.cc bot there. And send it a message of $help as one word, and then it'll send you a little help file, help you understand how it works. And people are in there tipping all the time now. It's really, really cool, and I've sent tips pretty much every single night since we got it going. So again, it's discord.lrn.fm. Now, will you be tipping if you're at the Cannabis Cafe that is about to open up in Hollywood? I suspect that you will. They are expecting that the place is going to be an upscale place for cannabis connoisseurs. They're trying to liken it to like a fancy wine tasting kind of joint, I guess. Not that I spend any time in these kind of places. But, you know, I like the idea of finally, at least since Prohibition started, this is going to be the very first time that America has an actual physical legal location where people can go to purchase and consume cannabis. The story is coming from bnnbloomberg.ca. The cafe is expected to open up on Monday in West Hollywood. It's called the Lowell Cafe. They'll be offering cannabis in pre-rolled joints or available to vape. And the cafe's opening also offers an extension to the cannabis market, where sales are largely confined to dispensaries and online orders, and tests the appetite for a more open and public consumption of a product that's still illegal in many jurisdictions. David Elias, who's co-founder of Los Angeles-based Lowell Herb Company, the cafe's owner, says, quote, "Cannabis consumers have always been relegated to getting their cannabis in a plastic bag, while you can go to a dinner party with a beautiful bottle of wine." He says people want to smoke a joint with their friends in a cafe like they can over a beer, not in the alley or in their car. And he's right about that. This is something that it's part of what we've done here in Keene, New Hampshire, with the 420 rallies that came back today, by the way, for their 10th anniversary. It was 10 years ago this month, kind of around this week. We're not really sure when.
Everybody was stoned. How would we know?
Also, it happened every day for a series of many weeks here in Keene, where people would go to the Central Square in downtown Keene, New Hampshire, which is kind of in New England towns. The central part of the town is kind of the common, as they call it. It's a public place where people can go gather and, you know, hang out or party or, you know, have an event or protest or whatever. And so we were doing these 420 rallies back in 2009. They ended up getting a fair amount of coverage. I mean, there was not only some local, obviously, front page style coverage. I think it spread out to some national level. Even Cannabis Culture Magazine, which is kind of the High Times of Canada, they did a feature piece on it. And so it was a fairly well-covered historic event where people were openly violating what could have gotten them misdemeanor charges. The possession of cannabis back then in New Hampshire had not been decriminalized at all. So it was a fair amount of risk that participants were taking. The feeling of it today was totally different because the risk level was much lower. Now with decriminalization, the worst case would be the cops could show up and ticket people and take away their weed. In this case, no cops were present whatsoever, despite an announcement, public announcement about this on the Free Keene blog at freekeene.com.
Well, it's best, because the last time the cops showed up and sort of snatched somebody up, all the cannabis protesters went to the cop shop.
It was about half of them. Half stayed in the park, half went to the cop shop.
A large enough amount
Dozens
of cannabis protesters went to the police station and smoked up in the lobby.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
This
There's
is
video.
This
it
is
happened.
The sort of thing that puts the cops in a really bad position because
well, they put themselves in the position.
You know, they're all about numbers, and they're not going to walk out there. The four guys that are on duty are going to walk out there. All right, you're all under arrest. And then everybody just runs out, you know, like they have no control.
Right. They stood there and watched from behind their plexiglass.
All they could do.
So the kind of the point, or at least one of the points of those 420 rallies, the public cannabis civil disobedience, was, in my opinion, was to normalize, to bring out from the shadows. And this is what this guy is talking about, where people are used to smoking in their car, you know, before they go into the restaurant to hang out with their friends. And or, you know, smoking before they go into the concert or whatever. This is kind of the way things have always been under Prohibition. And the idea behind the 420 rallies was, let's get this out into the open. Let's have people come out there. You know, we need a guy in a business suit. We need people, the hippies. We need all kinds of the people who smoke cannabis or consume cannabis are a wide range. And it's not all the, whoa, dude, you know, that stereotype that you see in movies. Those people exist. There's no doubt about it.
Plenty of people came out and didn't smoke at all. They just
supported it. Right. And that happened today as well.
And the fact that some people came out and rolled and you know, smoked rolled up cigarettes, hand rolled cigarettes.
Tobacco cigarettes.
Tobacco cigarettes as opposed to marijuana, that also sort of added to the confusion, right? Now what do the cops do?
Yeah, I remember that was a fun thing. I think they called them jokers and tokers
or something like that.
The
right?
Jokers were the ones with the hand-rolled cigarettes. Actually, one of the guys who got arrested was smoking mint. There was two arrests that happened in Keene, not today, but right. 10 years ago. He was smoking hand-rolled mint cigarettes, and they had to let him go because it wasn't actual cannabis. And then, of course, Rich Paul now has changed his name to Nobody. He once again led the festivities today. I did get some video and some photos, and at some point I'll put together a blog post about that over at freekeene.com. But going on here with the Cannabis Cafe, so this is the Lowell Cafe in Hollywood. They sell pre-rolled smokes to more than 300 dispensaries. So this is actually the company behind this cafe sounds like a wholesaler. So they're selling to the dispensaries the pre-rolled joints. And it says here the 46-year-old former Wall Street trader started the business in 2017 with 5 employees a year after California's Adult Use of Marijuana Act passed. And he now has a staff of more than 200 and counts pop star Miley Cyrus and other celebrities as investors. With California Governor Gavin Newsom's executive order this month to curb youth vaping and spend more than $20 million on an awareness campaign aimed at both nicotine and cannabis vaping products, the cafe's opening faces challenges too. Elias said, quote, it's a tricky situation. He said further, it's something we're learning about every day and helping to inform our decisions based off the information that's available to us, which is very limited. Then they go into the 77% of cases of patients with vaping-related lung injuries apparently had used products containing THC. However, they don't point out that those products – oh, no, they do mention it here. Well – yeah, they do mention that it was the black market where those contaminants are found. So again, if you're buying THC vape products on the black market, just like the black market has always been, there's risk involved.
Otherwise, vapes haven't had a problem.
Higher risk than normal vapes. I mean, we're not saying vapes are good for you, but the black market ones are less likely to be. It's Free Talk Live. Toll-free number 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Just tipped everybody in the chat room who's been active there in the last, I don't know how long. I don't know what active means, but presumably the last 5 or 10 minutes or something like that. You can get in our chat room over at discord.lrn.fm. With you tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
And also, we've been talking about legal cannabis. It's still a minority of states that have it. But I bet you in 5 years from now, we're going to be getting close to half. I'm just going to go out on that limb. It seems inevitable at this point. The cat's out of the bag. People in the legal states are starting to realize that, my God, the sky hasn't fallen. Not everybody is getting high and getting behind the wheel and crashing cars. It's not the sort of terrifying situation that the prohibitionists wanted you to believe that it would be when cannabis was legalized. And, of course, it's being taxed, and it's raised quite a bit of tax dollars in places like Colorado and Washington State and others.
Right, so. And most of the things that they say is that more people will smoke pot. And I don't know that there's, maybe there's some evidence of that. Maybe it's not. One of the things that's going—
I can tell you this. I've smoked less cannabis since more options have become available.
Sure.
Now, we're living in a black market here in New Hampshire, but because of the legal markets, there's product that, leaks out the back door, so to speak, of these legal markets. It's not legal for them to cross, state lines. But they sure do. And as a result of that, there's more edible products and more vape products available in the black market than there ever was 10 years ago. They're affordable, and there are alternatives to cannabis. So the more options there are in the market, the less I think people are going to actually smoke it.
Right, understood, smoke.
But cannabis, sure.
Consume might be a better term. And I don't know if that, maybe it's the case, maybe it's not. When you look at these places, some people were traveling at one point to Denver for pot tourism.
Pot tourism, yeah.
Right. So you can't say that, it appears as though per capita more marijuana is being bought than it ever was before. Well, yeah, that's because people are coming in town.
Right.
And
it's an attraction.
It's hard to know. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. And then when you start looking at what marijuana's devastation to society or whatever compared to things like alcohol.
Heroin.
People do use marijuana to get off of addictive drugs.
Yeah, that's true.
And to some level of success.
And Kratom as well.
They're using Kratom
people are
also.
Getting off of
but
addictive
the DEA
drugs.
Wanted to get rid of that too.
They banned it in Franklin, New Hampshire recently.
So there you go.
So if you want to comment, you can.
It just sounds bad though. Kratom? That sounds
Kratom.
Bad.
Let's go to Mike. He's in Gold Bar, Washington, listening to KBKW in Aberdeen. Hello, Mike.
Hey, you guys. I wish I was a little bird right now to go see how much money people are putting out for a, what did you call it, a pre-rolled marijuana cigarette in California?
Hollyweed. I don't know. That's a good question.
$5. Washington State, there's so many pot stores. They've got to have these sales. So you can buy an ounce of that marijuana in Washington sometimes for $50.
Wow.
Because when they start jumping them up to even $10 a gram, that's $280 for an ounce of marijuana.
Yeah.
No one will buy it because there's so much of it. You go down the street and it's half price.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's amazing. So when they're done in Hollywood, fly to Seattle real quick, bring $40 or $50 and get you a month's worth of pot, maybe $100.
Well, one of the things that they've run into in California is the regulations. Mark, you talked earlier about how regulations you didn't think were such a big deal. Well, they are. And in fact, regulations have basically killed a lot of the legal marijuana business down there because it's essentially made it prohibitively expensive to do business. And the black market can undercut them left and right. And, you know, black market guys just going to deliver to your house too, so why not pay them to do it and pay half the price?
Yeah.
Are people buying black market?
I don't think we have that problem here because there's not many people selling marijuana on the street because it's so cheap in the store.
That's what I was going to ask you. Yeah, if you knew of any black market
dealers.
Yeah,
there's. I haven't seen it in a plastic bag. We buy it, and in Washington, it comes in a jar.
Like
a
glass jar?
Lid.
Very
yeah.
nice. Very
yeah,
nice.
Glass jar, real glass.
It's like an old
That's
baby food jar?
Though, you know.
Now, do you know people,
yeah, like all
Mike,
kinds of cool jars.
Mike, do you know people who started smoking cannabis since it became legal?
I know people that smoke way more. Like, I probably smoke more than I should because it's so convenient to just go get a couple of those rollies, you know, or whatever. I think it's just people are smoking a little bit more.
When you say rollies, you mean pre-rolled cannabis?
Yeah. We get two of them for $5 in Washington.
Two for
probably
five?
Near as good as the one. Yeah, but they couldn't be anywhere near as good as the ones in California because I'm only stoned for like a couple hours, you know, after I smoke one. So they're probably not really very good.
That's no, I mean, that's because you smoke all the time. That's why it's only lasting
that's
2 hours.
That's what it is.
Yeah, for
that's
you.
That's it.
Here's a comparison price for you. When Massachusetts, which is the state south of where we are, they opened up their legal market. Actually, it was, I think, November of last year. So it's been almost an entire year in Massachusetts. We actually went down there, not you, Mark, but a couple of the Free Talk Live co-hosts made a little trek down there because we wanted to be there on opening day just to see what what it was all about, what it was like, what the scene was, and what the vibe was like, and went down there and went into the pot shop there. And now maybe they've gotten cheaper since then because there's more shops that have opened in the last year. But at the time, there were only two shops in Massachusetts. They were charging $70, and then it was plus tax. So it was actually ended up being like $85 for five cannabis cigarettes. So we're talking about 17.
They tried that in Washington for about a week.
Hey, Mike, thanks for calling.
Hey, you guys.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for bringing your show to us.
My pleasure. Bye. Well, actually, that was KBKW that brought it to you, so thank them. Please call Bill over there at KBKW and tell them thank you for airing Free Talk Live. They actually air us every day during the week as well. They take an hour of the show, and I really appreciate it. And they're live.
The marketplace at work, right? Like, so the guy who's selling pot wants to sell as little pot as possible for the highest price he can possibly get away with.
Mm-hmm.
So five joints for $85, which sounds outrageous to me.
It was outrageous, but everything else was outrageous in the store, and I kind of felt like that was the best value. Like, you could buy a quarter ounce of weed for like $120 or something ridiculous like that, but at least there, somebody's rolled the damn joint for you. All you had to do was pull it out and smoke it.
So, That doesn't surprise me at all. It's when competition gets in into the marketplace. And in Washington and Colorado, Denver, the competition's there. In these places where they say, all right, we're going to have three places in the entire state where they're going to have legal recreational dispensaries. Well, of course the prices are high because people have to drive so far. They don't want to. And, it's just frustrating. Basically, all you're doing is creating jobs for weed dealers.
So if you want to comment, of course, you're welcome to join us here. Our number 855 450 free, like freedom. Wow, let's see. Pre-rolled joints. I'm looking at the menu here. I guess it's down to $12 for a pre-rolled joint. So it's lower than what it was, but it's still outrageously high by comparison to what you get outside. But then again, there's not that much competition generally to the Massachusetts stores. They're still fairly limited. Vermont, for instance, doesn't have the legal sales of cannabis yet. You can legally grow it. You can legally smoke it, possess it in Vermont. You can gift it to others, but there's not actually a storefront kind of situation. Of course, New Hampshire just has decrim, so there's no store sales there. And I don't think Maine has yet opened their – I haven't heard, at least, that Maine has opened the doors on their first store, although that is supposedly coming. So back to the story.
Half the country here soon.
Yeah, that's what I think, probably within the next 5 years or so. But
Florida and Texas really need to get their butts in gear, though.
Texas is still a felony down there, from what
it's
I understand.
Outrageous.
They're going to be one of the last to go. I bet Utah will go before
We're
Texas.
We're Republicans, and that's important and
we
stuff.
We love business, except...
right. We love putting people in jail, is what we love. We love creating business for prison guards.
Yeah. So they're talking about this cannabis cafe, this upscale thing that's going to exist in Hollywood. It's going to open up on Monday. According to Bloomberg BNN, the owner says he did have to work with the synagogue across the street, which had raised the issue of the smell of the cannabis. He's addressed the concerns with odor mitigation systems in the venue, which has a 220 seating capacity in both indoor and outdoor areas. It's not a small little club. 220 is a pretty big joint, so to speak. The trend of consuming cannabis on site hasn't yet taken hold in the U.S. I mean, in most places, it's not legal. You know, they don't have a legal structure in most legal states, as I understand it, to even open something like this. You're going to likely see that change after this because there's going to be some serious money in it, and the politicians are going to want to get a piece of that. For tourists visiting from Amsterdam, where cannabis cafes line the streets, it's puzzling that it's legal to buy weed in some of these U.S. states, but there's nowhere to consume it, because in a lot of cases, public consumption is also made illegal, even though it's legal to possess.
You can buy it, but we don't want to watch you smoke it.
And the entrepreneur in this case says he sees an opportunity to create a California brand in the same way that Levi and Strauss did with jeans. So I wish him the best of luck. He did apparently have... it was a tough time getting through the regulatory structure. 400 applications were sent to the city of West Hollywood, and he was one of 8 that got approved. So, good old government standing in the way. We'll see you tomorrow night. You can join us online in the meantime. Head on over to freetalklive.com. Follow us on twitter.freetalklive.com and toot.freetalklive.com. I want to tell you about my favorite cryptocurrency wallet, Edge Wallet, at edge.app. Edge is the wallet I use more than any other, and that was true long before Edge Wallet became a sponsor of Free Talk Live. Edge Wallet allows you to buy, sell, trade, and securely hold your cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, Ethereum, tokens, Monero, Ripple, Dash, Bitcoin Cash, and more. It's available for both Android and iOS, and you can download it via the Play or App Store or via Edge Wallet's website, edge.app. Secure your freedom with Edge Wallet.